Got it.
I suppose that church and teaching that centers on omnipresence of God and gratitude would be remiss at not having a Thanksgiving service. And of course, that is what we have here this morning. And as you know, we here in the Americas celebrate a day of thanks, and it originates from the pilgrims who were trying to make their way in the wild and came up upon and were shown the way by the Wampanoag tribe. Wampanoag, oddly enough, stands for people of the light. So the metaphor is not missed, even in historical fact there. And they provided bounty in the land and assisted the pilgrims in making their way and getting through that first winter. And after a few hundred years of our existence and forming into a nation, Abraham Lincoln was prevailed upon to declare the fourth Thursday of each November a day of thanks. And each president followed suit thereafter. And not before long, we became a national holiday, both here and the Canadians celebrate one as well in the Americas. But how do we in divine science regard Thanksgiving? Well, we look at it from a metaphysical standpoint, of course, and celebrations of Thanksgiving are remarked upon to heal our erroneous thoughts that we are somehow self-reliant. And this restores us to our right state of mind. And all we need to say to put us there is, "Thank you, Father." You see, forgiveness and gratitude, these are powerful states of mind to promote healing. To be forgiven, and by the way, healing is simply curing the false sense of separation from each other and from God. To be forgiven is to become at one with each other and with God, and to be grateful is to praise and to bless what we have. And this makes our heart and mind look at life from the standpoint of finding good in what is present, rather than to have us looking for what is missing. A grateful heart is always full. An ungrateful heart or state of mind or being is always in lack. Gratitude and forgiveness are two actions that we always have in our control at every time, no matter what. We can always choose to be grateful for what we have. We can always choose to forgive. And therefore, it stands to reason that it is always in our control to determine how we are going to feel about any given situation at any time. And don't you know how we feel about a situation somehow directly impacts its ultimate outcome from our perspective? An attitude of gratitude changes everything. Bob Proctor was a Canadian author and business coach. He died about a year ago. He used to say that gratitude is an energy booster. An attitude of gratitude, he would say, changes your whole outlook and in turn changes your whole life, so much so that he had a prescription for it. Gratitude puts you in harmony with your source of supply. It forces you to think about and treasure what you have. And when you do that, well, your thoughts magnify your experiences. You see more in your life of what you think about and what you treasure. In coming up with his formula for gratitude, he quotes Wallace Wattles, who was a New Thought person. "The grateful mind is constantly fixed upon the best. Therefore, it tends to become the best. It takes the form or character of the best and receives the best." It is always in your power to adopt the attitude of gratitude, no matter how down on your luck you may think you are at the moment, you have the power to think. With the power of thought comes the power of choice, the ability to choose what it is you think about. And if you choose to fill your mind with thoughts of all that you have, by the next thing you know, you will attract more to you. Now, Proctor recommends a gratitude list to be kept daily. Write down each day 10 things you are grateful for and send love to 3 people who are bothering you, and do it every day. Does this sound familiar? Although I am unaware specifically of Jesus maintaining a so-called gratitude journal, he was actually the embodiment of gratitude. He took the 5 loaves and the 2 fishes and blessed them, praised them, gave thanks for them, and before not too long, he found he saw enough bread and fish to feed the multitudes and still have 12 baskets left over, 1 for each tribe of Israel. And what about this thing about loving your enemies? Didn't Jesus say that? Didn't he say, love your enemies, forgive them that would despitefully use you? This was our lesson from last week with Jesus on the cross saying, forgive them, Father, they know not what they do. But it would be more than just forgiveness. Jesus is advocating love. We actually need to love and appreciate and think about and give kind thoughts to those, including those unfortunate circumstances we think we are experiencing. Those who are really bothering us and troubling us, we give them love. And so we have examples from a business coach and from the master of how we are to live with love, gratitude, and appreciation. They say and demonstrate that there are palpable benefits to all of this, but what I want to explore this morning is why. I don't know about you, but when I know the why behind something, it's far easier for me to put into practice a principle. So that's the question. Why gratitude? Why does this work? If we know why, we'll do something about it. When we don't know why, well, we just say, well, that was a nice thing that we heard Sunday morning, and go on with our day and get back to the daily living, the daily grind of keeping and watching out for our so-called grub stake. And so the question that we really have to ask and understand to put gratitude into practice is, why does this work? We can start with the understanding that our true nature is Christ-like. Our true nature is detached from our daily superficial wants, plans, and schemes. Our true nature is awareness. Our true nature is universal love. Our true nature, and the ancients had this understanding so much better than we do, our true nature is that we are beings who love and care and are charged with tending the garden. That is our charge from the beginning. It was expressed in Genesis. But as we have moved from an agrarian society to a post-age society, most postmodern age society of computers, bytes, gigabytes, data points, mouse clicks, we've become isolated from the natural sense of things, of just being. And so we have to recreate this for ourselves in our mind by reading scripture, reading poems from the ancients, reading from the spiritual masters, with an effort to understand and apply it to our lives. And when we do, we find that as in nature, our nature is one of giving, giving thoughts and feelings to God. And in return, we will find that we are to give what we've gotten from God to our brothers and sisters. Let us look, for example, at the Song of Solomon. We find one example of an expression of our true nature. I am the rose of Sharon and a lily of the valley. A rose of Sharon is a mature flower, wild in the field, going from the bud or bulb and springing forth. Here, the rose of Sharon is our mature, loving, divine, natural self. We are as the lily among thorns. We are as the apple tree among the trees of wood, that is, non-fruit bearing. We are comforted, and so are to give comfort. Right there in the Song of Solomon, we are comforted, and so are to give comfort. We are the voice of the beloved, and we are the ones who love as the beloved, all at the same time. The winter, or season of emptiness, is past, along with the rain which has watered the earth. And now we see and behold life from our perch as the lily of the field, the turning and evolving of life. Regard these further passages from the Song of Solomon. The flowers appear on the earth. The time of the singing of birds is come, and the voice of the turtle is heard in our land. The fig tree putteth forth her green figs, and the vines with the tender grape give good smell. Arise, my love, my fair one, and come away. My beloved is mine, and I am his. He feedeth among the lilies. Now, the writer, John Steinbeck, and he insisted on calling himself as a writer. He was lauded one time with the statement of, well, here's the author, John Steinbeck, and he took the podium and said, author, I don't know what that is. I write things down. I observe. I mean, imagine the humility of this. I digress. The writer, John Steinbeck, named a character Rose of Sharon in his novel, The Grapes of Wrath. Now, in that book, we come upon the Joad family in the 1930s Depression, and we know from our history that that is a hard and scrabble life. No one has anything of any substance whatsoever, and it is difficult just to get by. Rose of Sharon, actually her name is Rosa Sean, and it's turned into Rose of Sharon in the book, is a young superficial girl when we meet her. She marries a man who is equally superficial, and they try to make it materially in this world and fail. Rosa Sharon becomes pregnant, and she is still her same selfish, immature self as her pregnancy progresses. But over time, she matures and becomes reconciled with the hard scrabble life that she faces. In the end, she moves from her selfish concerns to a person who provides universal caring, gratitude, and love. And it is expressed in this way. The baby is unfortunately stillborn, but she had been prepared by nature to feed the baby. But now the milk in her breasts is going to go to waste. Instead, she feeds the old man starving in their community. She grows into her name, the lily of the field, caring for humanity, recognizing the dignity of life. In short, she has been healed and is now a source of healing. So there is our role, and it is the role the gratitude plays, and it is why we make an importance of gratitude. Our role is to heal and to be healed, to care for and love, to comfort and be comforted. And our ability to do this depends not only on the state of mind of our consciousness, but also what is in our heart. It's the thankful heart that heals. Heart, that is the metaphorical symbol for our belief system, our core, It's what's in our heart that counts. It's really not enough to just think grateful thoughts. We have to take them in so deeply into our consciousness that they become our heart, so to speak, our lifeblood. That is how much we need to be grateful, so that it makes up and becomes at the very core or ground of our being. And what do we find when we do this? We find we have a thankful heart and therefore see no such thing as lack. A thankful heart sees no such thing as hatred. A thankful heart is so imbued with supply, abundance, and love that it overflows into our daily lives. It becomes manifest as our good. Now, the master believed this, as did those who were healed, who had followed him. Now, there is at Jerusalem by the sheep market a pool, which is called in the Hebrew tongue Bethesda, having five porches. In these lay a great multitude of impotent folk, of blind, halt, withered, in other words, us, waiting for the moving of the water. For an angel went down at a certain season into the pool and troubled the water. And whosoever then first, after troubling the water, stepped in and was made whole of whatsoever disease he had. Why? Because they believed it. And this was their core fundamental belief. They needed an external thing to come in to provide the healing. Now, a certain man was there ready to receive the gift from God. He had an infirmity for 38 years. And when Jesus saw him lying there and knew he had been there a long time, he said, "Wilt thou be made whole?" The impotent man answered him, "Sir, I have no man when the water is troubled to put me into the pool. But while I am coming, another man steppeth down before me." Jesus said unto him, "Rise, take up thy bed and walk." And immediately the man was made whole and took up his bed and walked. And on the same day was the Sabbath. "I have no man," the crippled man says, "no man to take me into the healing waters." I have no man means I have no ideas, no thoughts. No thought has come upon me to allow me to change my circumstances. Oh, but there is a new thought, and it comes to the man in the form of a question. "Will you be made whole?" That is the new thought. The thought the lame man had never come up with before. He had been stuck in his old ideas, and his old ideas were of no assistance to him. So he needed a new idea. The idea of, "Will you be made whole? Will you continue to depend on circumstances to come to the rescue?" They never had before. So now, will you abandon that thought? Will you think in such a way that you will be made whole? And if the answer is yes, well then rise up and walk, and you will. Why? Because you believe in your heart. You believe in the omnipresence of God, of good. You have given all to God, just like Abraham did when confronted with material circumstances. That is the power of gratitude, going to God and giving thanks and connecting in with that power. And then you find that where your heart is, there will your treasure be also. A rather crude story also is reported in the Bible, which seems off-putting at first until we probe for its deeper meaning. "Behold, a woman of Canaan came out of the same coasts and cried unto the master, saying, 'Have mercy on me, O Lord, thou son of David. My daughter is grievously ill and vexed with a devil.' But he answered her not a word. And his disciples came and besought him, saying, 'Send her away, for she crieth after us.' Then he answered the woman, 'I am not sent but unto the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And she came and still worshipped him nevertheless, saying, Lord, help me. But he answered her and said, it is not meet to take the children's bread and to cast it to the dogs. This is a rather stark statement coming from Jesus of Nazareth. But the woman persisted, truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. Then Jesus answered and said unto her, O woman, great is thy faith. Be it unto thee even as thou wilt. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour. I would posit under the fear that this may sound heretical, but Jesus was also healed at that point in time as well. This woman from Canaan, a feeling of being detached from a place of separation, that is us when we have not yet obtained our thankful heart. We are trying and now come to the Christ consciousness. And in our consciousness, we argue just like the woman did. We argue from a standpoint of knowing the truth and we refuse to believe all else. Such faith this woman had, even though Jesus was turning her away, that she was not of the lost sheep of Israel, she maintained her sense of gratitude and love for God, expressed this way. Even the dogs eat of the crumbs which fall from their master's table. So great is your faith. In other words, so filled is your heart with gratitude and love that this state of mind, this consciousness of the truth of your being has made you whole, even as thou wilt. We see here examples of gratitude affecting the healing. We are broken, injured, hurt, lame, dying, outcast, feeling separated, lost. And by suddenly going to the truth of our being and finding something, anything, for which to express gratitude, suddenly our circumstances improve. And we are then made whole. We are no longer sick, broken, diseased, dying, or injured. But there is a catch. We cannot do it with lip service. We have to do it with our whole body, our whole hearts and minds. Mary Baker Eddy, the discoverer and founder of Christian Science, had this to say about the relationship of gratitude and healing. She writes, we admit theoretically that God is good, omnipotent, omnipresent, infinite. And then we try to give information to this infinite mind. Don't we often do that when we pray? We pray in a certain way. We expect our prayers to be answered in exactly the way we expect them to be. That's us trying to give information to the infinite mind, by the way. Mrs. Eddy continues, we plead for unmerited pardon, for a liberal outpouring of benefactions. But are we really grateful for the good we've already received? Then we shall avail ourselves of the blessings we have and thus be fitted to receive more. Gratitude is much more than a verbal expression of thanks. Action, it's action that expresses more gratitude than speech. She continues, if we are ungrateful for life, truth, and love, and yet return thanks to God for all blessings, we are insincere. What we most need is the prayer of fervent desire for growth in grace, expressed in patience, meekness, love, and good deeds, to keep the commandments of the Master and follow his example. And there were only two. Love God with all your heart, soul, and mind, and love each other as you love yourselves. To keep the commandments in mind is our proper debt, and the only worthy evidence of gratitude for all that has been done for us. Outward worship is not of itself sufficient. If you love me, keep my commandments. The habitual struggle to always be good is unceasing prayer. Its motives are made manifest in the blessings they bring, blessings which, even if not acknowledged in audible words, attest our worthiness to the partakers of love. Simply asking that we may love God will never make us love him. We need to long to be better, holier, expressed in daily watchfulness, in striving to assimilate more of the divine character. And that will mold and fashion us anew till we awaken in his likeness. Audible prayer can never do the works of spiritual understanding, which regenerates, but silent prayer, watchfulness, and devout obedience enable us to follow Jesus's example. In other words, Mrs. Eddy is saying gratitude, as expressed in our actions in loving God, as all in all, is the key to demonstration. Our founders, as we know, were influenced by Emma Curtis Hopkins, who had been a student of Mrs. Eddy. And our founders were hyper-focused on healing. And it's not unusual to see that, because at that time, medicine was abysmal. A disease might get diagnosed with the generalized, vague label of invalidism, and there was nothing left to do but pray. Oh, mine being the place of last resort, as long as we're on the roadmap, huh? And the key to a prayerful life was then and is now gratitude. The Brooks sisters and Melinda Kramer wrote in our basic text, a continuous recognition and praise of the omnipresence of the spirit of good on the conscious level then causes our subconscious realm to be gradually purified. In other words, comes into our heart. And in this way, we become trained to accept the life pattern of the Christ. When we do that work, healing is inevitable. So why express gratitude with daily journals and forgiveness of those who bother us? Because it brings forth our true nature, which is to heal. For the lesson here is that we are indeed Rose of Sharon. We are indeed the Christ. We are indeed the channel, the instrument. And we open ourselves up to being the channel by regarding our lives and being grateful for everything that has come our way. The transformation we're looking for, that gratitude will produce, is that we go from a life where we live against the grain, so to speak, to one where we are in unity with all. In the song Find the River by the rock group REM, this is shown where the singer realizes that the river's goal is the ocean. And when he tries to resist, he finds that nothing is going his way. But when he jumps on the river for the ride, all of this is coming his way. All good comes your way when you are in the flow. And the flow is opened up by expressions of gratitude taken to heart. You see, no matter what your circumstances are, you can always adopt a new thought. If you have only a nickel in your pocket, be grateful for it. Not for the dollars you don't have. If you are in a critical environment where everyone is angry at you, love them. Don't share in and transfer their energy. Adopt a loving approach. Take it into your heart, and soon you will find love and acceptance. Why? Because your thinking and your grateful heart has made it so. Let's take a few moments now to have a meditation, to rest, to contemplate, to make this lesson practical. Let's close our eyes, keep our feet squarely on the ground, sitting up straight, lest we fall asleep. Take in one or two cleansing breaths, and just relax. Lord, make me an instrument. Make me a channel. Let me be grateful for whatever I find in my outward circumstances. Let me love, not hate. Let me pardon, not condemn. Let me bring faith, hope, and light. Let me comfort and console. Let me feed the masses. I am the rose of Sharon, the lily in the field. Let me jump on the flow of the river. May I have the strength and courage to overcome my weary eyes and see that all good is here. It is coming my way. All I must do is be grateful. Amen.
Amen.
Let us listen now as Alan sings our closing solo, Bless This House by May Brah. Closing blessing. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he cause his light to shine upon you and be gracious unto you. Turn within and acknowledge him so that he may lift your consciousness and give you his peace. Amen.
Amen.
Praise God in whom all being is. Praise him for word and former is. Praise him all ye his truth proclaim. Sing joyful praise unto
gratitude. Thank you. Thank you all for coming. Go in peace and be so filled with gratitude and love that there's no room for anything else. And have a blessed week.